The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Welcome to the Matt and Ez Show. I'm Matt.
And I'm Ez.
And guys, we're going to be talking some politics today. So for those of you guys who don't like that, well, that's what we're talking about. We're going to make some predictions. All right. We're going to do some betting. We might get out some stogies. talk about who we think is going to win this election, what states are going to win. We're going to talk about the debate. There's been all kinds of shenanigans going on in the world. I'm repping, you know, the Lakers. Okay, LeBron, the king, about to win his fourth NBA championship. And then we're going to finish up, it is October, with favorite Halloween candy. What is your go-to Halloween candy? But first, as it is October, it's official, No Simp September is over. How you feeling?
dude, it's literally like I like the chains are off, you know, and I'm back with a vengeance. So
how hard was it?
It was tough. Hey, I'll be honest, I looked at my bank account the other day and I thought, where did all this money come from? Well, then I thought back, hey, No Simp September.
I don't know what the thing for October is. I know what November is, but I don't know about what October is. So we'll leave that with that. But all right, as the presidential debate happened, you and I both watched it. It was a train wreck. The train wrecked into a dumpster fire. That's kind of where I'm at with it. What did you think?
Well, here's the thing. I watched it. It was interesting. And I started off watching it not drinking, and I ended drinking. And it was like, you know, I had to work the next day. So I normally don't do that. It's the only way I could get through it. I just sat back. And then as I was watching, I kept thinking to myself, like, why are we not answering the important questions? You know?
Like, where's the wall?
Where's the wall?
Why isn't Hillary locked up?
Right. Why is the swamp not drained yet? Or is it and I missed it? You know, I like... Oh, man. Those are the important questions. I didn't hear those answered. I didn't hear those discussed. I'm thinking that's probably the second debate. We're going to get back to those because those are important, you know, I mean, points. I for 4 years, we've been, you know, talking about it. So I don't know. I mean, it was absolutely nuts. Let's just be honest. I mean, across the board, like it was. I don't really care who you're supporting. I think if there's one thing that could actually unite our nation, it's that we all can agree that was an absolute just nut show up on that stage. I mean, it was insane. I've never seen a moderator like sit there and just he's just like, guys, we're on TV. Like
he literally had to stop both. He had to stop both of them. Yeah, more so Trump, and I think even Fox News agrees with us on that one. So
as we're
still trying to be somewhat partisan here. In the beginning of this, I can't attest that it will continue that way. But I mean, he literally had to stop and was like, these guys are supposed to be the next president of the United States. Like, can we get some class up here on both sides?
Dude, it was bad. I mean, it was bad. And I don't know. It was just like, I can't really tell. I don't know. It was just, it just seemed awkward. And then even when they were allowed to talk, you've got, I hate to say it, and people can get on me for this. You got a couple old guys up there who are, I think, both losing it. I mean, a little bit, like,
I'm with you.
There's some stuff. I'm like, they couldn't stay on topic sometimes. Maybe they didn't want to, which I get. Jesus.
I'm with you, and here's the thing. So they've been saying, oh, Sleepy Joe, and I'm like, what are they even talking about? Joe Biden, to me, he seemed a little bit older. I'm like, he's a little bit older. And even – and I was actually, I think, more surprised, actually, by how much older Trump seemed to me. I was like, oh, wow, because I just thought, you know, thinking of that last debate where he's going head – him and Hillary just going back and forth. I was like – he actually even, and you know, the presidency does that to people. Sure. And I was actually really taken aback by how much older he seemed to me just in these 4 years. I was like, oh, wow. Cause I expected Joe Biden to, Joe Biden's age to me, I was like, wow, this is not the same Joe Biden of 8 years ago. Then Trump even too, I was like, he is not the same man he was 4 years ago. Yeah. Are we sure could either one of them make it through the next 4 years?
Well, I mean, I think, yeah, they could, but it's like, I mean, there's this high, like the odds are.
I don't know, man.
They're older. I mean, is it not? I mean, would Joe be one of the oldest or the oldest if he were elected?
I think Trump right now is the oldest only because all those people in the past. Although I would, as a historical expert, which I am, I'm legally a historical expert. That's what my degree is in. Uh-huh. I would have to say that, you know, you go back and you look at people and like, you know, if when you're 60 years old in the 1830s, that's probably like being 80 today. Okay. I mean, William Henry Harrison was president for like 30 days from Ohio. Let's go. You know, he gave his inaugural speech in the rain for like 4 hours, got pneumonia, was like, I'm going to prove to the American people that I'm strong, did all the grocery shopping for the White House, and died 30 days later. On his deathbed, the like 18, you know, whatever doctors are like throwing leeches on him to try and suck out the bad blood. It's a disaster.
Are you kidding me? Right?
I'm not. It's real. You can look it up. It's real. That is real. That actually.
I love history. I love something like that.
That happened. So
I'm sorry, man. That sounded like Melisandre like leeching somebody out. Like,
it's messed up, man. So yeah. So I would have to say, you know, I mean, Jimmy Carter just turned 96, but I mean, he was president, you know, way back in the 70s. And end of the 70s and the 80s.
Man,
I mean, I think Trump right now is the oldest president, and then Biden would, you know, be even older as a new president. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I mean, but I have, again, of just people who are not, they, I mean, yeah, they're both pretty old. I'm not gonna lie. Yeah. So I'm looking more forward to the next debate, which is Kamala Harris and Mike Pence, because they're both a little bit younger.
That'll be fun. Yeah.
And then also there, I don't think there's going to be a lot less, you know, there's not going to be name calling and stuff like that between the two.
Yeah.
Were there any moments that you thought were, and we'll kind of give both sides, some things that you thought that Trump did well and some things that you thought that Biden did well?
Well, I don't think it really belonged in the debate, but like Trump's I mean, there's not much. I don't know. Maybe there's more on Biden than I know or realize. And I'm sure somebody will let me know about it. But like, you know, the things that were there, Trump just repeated over and over and over again. And I guess if you are Trump, right? Things have gone the way they've gone. You're just such an unorthodox. You're not a politician. You're not. You don't care really about, I don't know. He's not watching everything he says. He's not politically correct. That's been his whole ball game. That's what he's going for, and he sticks to it. I mean, at least he's not changing his tune here and saying, "Oh, I'm going to be more professional." And that's the radical thing, right? Everyone said, "Don't worry. He'll be presidential when he needs to be." And it's like, what? And it worked for him. So
I'll give him credit. There have been flashes of it. You know, and here's the thing. is I will tell you guys, as we are not real media here, you can't trust, you cannot trust the media, literally, because I watch, I kind of watch both. I like to watch Fox News and watch CNN. Literally, I mean, I'm not joking. I'm watching the debate, and I'm like, okay, I want to see what Fox News says, and I want to see what CNN says. I switch to Fox News, and it's Donald Trump dominated Joe Biden. He was aggressive. He looked great. I switch to CNN. Donald Trump was a joke. Joe Biden appealed to the American people, and it's like, if people wonder why we're divided, it's it's because it's this. It's this. The big thing was they said Trump, you know, downside of Trump, I suppose, was that he didn't denounce, you know, white supremacists. When literally all, I mean, he did kind of say, he did kind of say, like, they said, you know, sure, yeah, I denounce them. And then he kind of went off and did his own thing. But then the next day, I did watch a thing on it with. They showed it on Fox News where they asked Trump in lawn, and he said, and he did denounce like the Proud Boys and these guys. But of course, CNN and all these other people aren't necessarily reporting it. So I will give him credit for that. And these people are reporting, and it goes back and forth. And there's totally stuff that, you know, Fox News will be like, oh, Joe Biden never, you know, did this or whatever. And it's just it's. Well, I feel like it just gets worse and worse every year between the two medias.
Okay, let's – all right, before I have too many of these corona, let me say something on a serious note, okay? I want to see what you think about this, Matt. I've talked with my dad about this, and I've talked with my uncles and different people. We – and this is just my personal belief, and so I get it. People have varying beliefs or whatever. Mm-hmm. I believe – I'll never forget when I was over here at this conservative college – that I graduated from, right?
Yes.
Which and I graduated. We're talking about politics. You graduated as well. And we were talking. You were there, actually. I showed up at that bonfire. Mm-hmm. We're talking about the election or some, I don't know, politics. And I told one of the students there, you know, because I was visiting you. We were hanging out. And I said, I'm a independent, you know? And this individual proceeded to, like, literally try to chew me out for being an independent
some
people know more about politics, some people understand, you know, whatever. It was a misconception, right? And I'm an educator, so I found a moment to kind of educate, and I talked about, you know, that I was proud of Ohio for being a purple state. I know it kind of goes, you know, it can go blue, it can go red, it can you know, whatever. You know what's interesting? You know why Ohio and these swing states get so much attention? Because you actually have to appeal to us. Mm-hmm. You know? You actually have to say, what I have to now be, I can't just do whatever I want because my base will let me do whatever I want. Okay? You actually have to work for that independent vote. That's the whole idea, right? Is that I have more power than anyone who is a Republican or a Democrat. As an independent, you have to come to me, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to sit over here. You know what I'm saying? So everyone who wants to, like, well, I'm a hardcore Democrat, I'm a hardcore Republican, they've got your vote, man. They can count on you for years. Guess what? I'm the guy in the middle, and other people are as well, who are making your candidates who are on left and right come to the middle or, you know, come in and kind of say, all right, look, to win this thing, it's going to be close. We need this guy's vote, and we need people like him. And so you have swing states that are important. Why are those other states that are pure blue and pure red not important? Because they're so ingrained. And that is, as you said, we have this polarizing kind of like thing going on where just watch the debate, right? Don't go watch all the commentary afterwards. And that is what Chris Wallace's point was to both of them. And it's the reason it was a disgrace is some people like myself, we just want to go in there and we actually do want to hear from you. And Trump has often said, you know, he disses on the media or whatever. You want to listen to Trump? Go listen to Trump. Trump's on Twitter. He will tell you what's up. He'll tell you what he's thinking. I don't have to go to Fox News or CNN. Trump will tell me what's up. Now, he just walks out there. And so if you know, whether you like it or not, There's no surprises there. It's not like the media is going in and not me down.
Well, it, still. There are surprises there. Just there, because I was what he say. Says is
well, I was about to say, there are some tax surprises going on, I guess. You know, so there's a role, but at the same time, I'm just sort of like, you know, you got to, like, I think you just got to be careful. You
it's
know?
Not.
You gotta really...
Look, here's the thing. People are like, oh, you know. I don't know that the Electoral College is necessarily bad. I get why people think it's outdated and stuff like that, but I in defense of it, let me start there. In defense of it, the biggest problem is that literally millions and millions of people don't even vote. If everyone in the country were voting and it came down to the Electoral College, okay, I could get it. But as long as there's not, I mean, theoretically, here's a theoretical situation, okay? Mm-hmm. Every person in California could vote. Let's say they all voted Republican. Well, that way it'll be a total hypothetical situation, okay?
Right, sure. Yeah.
I don't know how many people there are in California. Let's just say it's 55 million. It might be less. I don't know, but that's just what we're going with.
Sure.
I think it's roughly something like that. I don't know. Yeah. So let's just say 55 million people in California all vote for Donald Trump, okay? And everyone else, every other state in the country, one person votes, okay? And those people all vote Democratic. Mm-hmm. So you could have this situation, which is actually what happened last time, in that Hillary wins the popular vote and Trump wins the Electoral College. You could have, like, theoretically a reverse situation like that where it's 55 million to really it would actually be 50 because of Washington, D.C. 55 million to 50 and the 50 win. So the biggest problem isn't necessarily the Electoral College. The biggest problem is one. Well, there's a handful of problems. One, people don't vote. And two, the Electoral College was never designed to work in a two-party system. So if you actually go back to the old elections where you had multiple people running, then it ended up working out better, because if they're typically, you think if there's three people, one person's going to be the overall favorite, which we saw in the 1992 election where you had a very serious third party candidate in Ross Perot. So that is kind of the thing. Now I do get the argument against it, which is, you know, like, if I, like, for me, as I'm in Oregon right now, if I wanted to vote red in Oregon, my vote basically wouldn't matter, right? Because it's a solid blue state. Same thing as if I lived in Montana and I wanted to vote blue, it wouldn't matter because I'm in a well, if you want your vote to matter, move to a swing state. People are like, oh, I'm going to – people are like, oh, if this person wins, I'm going to move out of the country. Don't move out of the country. Move to a swing state. Then your vote matters. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's really simple. It's why I don't understand, and I've talked about this with you before. It's like the Republican and Democratic Party, like, oh, they're spending all this money or whatever. It's if you really want to win – I mean, look, if you're the Democrats and you really want to win, Hillary lost Texas – by around 800,000 people. Start convincing people, start convincing Democrats in red states, solid red states like the South and like Montana and stuff like that, to move to Texas. And then you come that much closer. And same thing, because the Democrats are at a huge electoral advantage. Yeah. So it's like if they flip Texas blue, which kind of looks like it might happen, I think, in the next 20 years. Then they start out with their base at 270 and they win. So if you're the Republicans, you need to start finding ways to convince Republicans from like California and New York to move to Washington, Oregon, one of these states that, oh, if suddenly 500,000 people moved there, that state is now red. That's what, or Florida, where you can just, you know, lock in Florida as a red state. That's what people should be doing. Move to a swing state. Don't move out of the country.
I mean, in the current system we're in, that's exactly my point. Why do they campaign in Ohio? Because it's pretty close. You know, why do they campaign in some of these other swing states? Well, because we got to win those states, the other states. So, yeah, it's twofold. Either you know, we get more people who kind of who aren't actually I get that the vote comes out, and if everyone in Oregon's voting, you know, blue or whatever, then that is what it is. But like, yeah, this declaration that I am in one party, I'm affiliated, it's announced, I'm 100, or whatever.
Yeah.
That's fine. It is okay. But it's just like, man, I want them to earn it. Yeah. I want this is a we the people situation. Okay, not a this party that party. This is a we the people. So you're gonna come to us, the people. And I'm not going to let you know, I'm not going to sit here and give you some blanket, just sort of like, all right, you know, you've got this color tie on and you're my guy. No, I mean, that's not how it works. You know, the other thing too, is that in both parties, I truly believe this sometimes, Democrats are afraid to say something against Joe Biden, right? And because you have people who are so far left who are going to call you a racist or a Trump right. supporter or whatever. And on the other hand, you have people who, if you were to call out Trump, by God, you're a liberal. You're wanting mm-hmm. to, you know, kill.
Look at blah, John blah, blah, Kasich.
All this going to hell, the whole thing. I mean, it's just
look at John Kasich, a Republican governor, former governor, lifelong Republican, yeah. who yeah. came out against Trump, and the Republican Party kills him for it.
And my thing there is it's fear, you know, right. like you know, you're actually afraid because you're like, boy, I can't, I'll never call Trump out if I'm in the Republican Party and if I want those, you know, everyone to kind of still, I don't want my friends to think that I know that's wrong, but I'm not going to say anything about it because my right. God, if I say something about it, they're going to call me out. I'm going to be outed. Like I'm going to be.
It is.
That's
it's the problem. It's
at that
it's,
point.
It
you,
is.
You're afraid.
It's the problem. It's the problem with the it's a problem with the parties is, you know, it's like. We really honest to God need a moderate third party in this country, because the far right, and it's like the far right and the moderate right could not be more different, and the yeah. far left and the moderate left could not be more different.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, and that's fine. That's just why
there is a party in there somewhere, and that's what
there
I
is
people,
there totally
yeah, like
there totally is. I mean, I consider myself a conservative Democrat, a moderate Democrat, and I voted for John Kasich. Why? And it wasn't just me. Ohio in 2012, the yeah. same counties that voted for Republican Governor John Kasich voted for Barack Obama.
Yeah.
As president. Voted for yep. it's just and that's the thing. It's okay to be moderate. And it's okay. I mean, it's where we need to be. We definitely, I think there is room for a centrist party, you know. And part of the issue is on both sides. On the left, it's like, hey, if you don't agree with all of these things we say, then you're part of the problem. And the same mm-hmm. thing on the right. That, you know, the same thing. It's like, look, maybe those issues just aren't the issues that I care about as much, or maybe they just don't yeah. affect me day to day, or maybe yeah. I've got other issues that I'm more passionate about. And right. you know, I mean, it's like,
well, it's funny. So like that again, another fear, another thing where that party is saying, no, you, Matt, you're a part of the problem because you're not agreeing wholeheartedly with us and throwing everything you have into this cause. Well, watch out, friends, because the more people who do that, the more you keep coming to us. Like we are the people, right? And so we actually do matter, right? Every mm-hmm. single person, whether you're on the left or the right, you know, you're Americans, you do matter. And it is important, and we do care about what, you know, like your beliefs, your culture, how you, all that kind of stuff. Like it's a part of the great melting pot. Mm-hmm. And are there issues? Are there problems? Sure there are. But like, that is the, like, we don't need more division. We need more unity. That people always kind of talk about it. And it literally is in the middle. It is with moderates. And it's not this whole sort of like, you're either, you know what? George Lucas said it. He showed it to us in episode 3 when Anakin said, you know, you're either with me, right?
Or you're my enemy. Again. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. So it's like, hold on a second. Like,
well, then you are lost.
Well, then you are lost. Like, come on. I mean, you know, it's crazy. And there's it's one or the other. And it just, that's, And in reality, I want people to know that that is not how it actually works. Those are the people who just get the media time, who like, if you're in those parties you're focused on, there are so many independents. There are so many people who are just sort of like saying like, all right, what's up? I'm in a tough spot here. Who's going to help us get better? Who's going to move us forward? And you got this back and forth, this shifting of money and power. And it's just this ebb and flow that rocks us all to sleep, mm-hmm. quite frankly.
Yeah. So, here's how I think we solve it. Because I do think that there are some things we could legitimately do in order to, like, some small changes we could make to the United States Constitution that I think would actually make things a lot better. First and foremost, I think the one thing we can all kind of agree on is we need some serious term limits for Congress.
Lord, could you imagine?
But yeah. Hear me out. I have something. I do have kind of a radical idea. I think we should extend House of Representatives terms to 4 years. And here's why. I know some people are like, what are you saying, Matt? So I think that if we were to extend the House, so right now, you get elected to the House, it's a 2-year thing. You basically have to start raising, I think the math is like, you basically have to raise like $10,000 a week to get the minute you get in to get ready. So they're constantly running for mm-hmm. office, which means that the special interest groups
are in
ACLU, NRA, you know, whatever, either side, are basically paying for your election every time. So they're going to be constantly paying for it. If you switch it out to 4 years, you get a lot more opportunity for these people to say, no, I'm representing my district, you know, mm-hmm. because.
Right.
So I think that would actually be better because then they're not constantly running for election. And the other thing is because they're constantly running for reelection, it means no bills can ever get passed because they're so beholden. If some bill comes up, they're. You know, they're racing to try to cram stuff in so that way it looks better for their reelection. So I think we need to extend it. I think we need to extend it to 4 years. And I think it would fix some serious problems.
Yeah. And so what you're saying is we might actually get
more done,
like more done and maybe even a truer representation of our, you know, our like, you know,
our districts.
By our representatives for us. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Yes.
So,
yeah, that's
interesting.
I still definitely think we should hard cap the amount of limits they have, whether it's, I think, 2 4-year terms, maybe 3. I think if you do 3 4-year terms, because then it's 12 years, which would be the same as, I think, the Senate, you get 2 terms. Now, this one I'm going to say, and I hope people don't criticize for me, of all of, so the Confederate States, the United States of America. Okay. Now, obviously, slavery and all of that stuff was incredibly obviously wrong. But they did have a few interesting things in their Constitution, which is really like the United States Constitution 3.0, because we had the Articles of Articles of Confederation. Okay. You know, by the way, what the Founding Fathers wanted, we literally tried an entire system of government that failed. Okay. Then, you know what I mean? Then we had a new system of government of which we said, hey, if you get stuff wrong or we need our new challenges come up later, we can fix that. It's called constitutional amendments. And we literally have a constitutional amendment that flat out abolishes another constitutional amendment. Okay. Prohibition. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But so then you get to around the 1850s, the Civil War. Well, half the country breaks off and says, we're going to make our own government. Obviously, they lost and they sucked and they were terrible people, but they did basically almost word for word copy our United States Constitution with a few exceptions. One of them, and this is the only one I'm really going to talk about, was they said that their president should be a 1-term, 6-year president as opposed to multiple 4-year terms, because at the time you could run for president as many times as mm-hmm. you wanted. Yeah. I actually do think that would be a better idea. I think if we said you only get to be a 1-term president, push it out a little bit beyond 4 years to 6 years, mm-hmm. I think that would be better, because then, you know, a president, again, same kind of thing, 4 years, they spend their first 2 years trying to like hammer out something big to carry it into election. And then by that time, as their second year is coming in, it's, well, now we may have to hold back a little bit because of midterm elections. Well, mm-hmm. I already said, let's shift that to 4 years. So mm-hmm. that way more stuff can get done. then, you know, it's like, well, then you got to try to ram stuff through or hold back on stuff that may be controversial because you're running for president again. Then yeah. your second term right now is, well, now I'm running for legacy, right? That's mm-hmm. the second 4 years of presidents is when you start to see them try to make big legacy moves. Like if you remember George W. Bush was like, I want to go back to the moon. You know, all of these things, like the stuff that's okay, that's like your years from now people remember. Well, and then you basically can't do anything in your last 2 years. That's why they call it a lame duck president, because everyone's like, well, we got to wait for the next election. So I think we say 6 years, one term, that's it. No more terms. You're in. You get a little bit longer of a term. You're out. Yeah. And I think that plus the fixing of the House of Representatives, and then, you know, set term limits on all these other things, and we're good. I think that would literally solve a ton of problems.
No, I hear what you're saying. I mean, and you know, the idea that it would make that vote for president, knowing it's going to be 6 years, way more important, mm-hmm. and it would make people look, I think, a whole lot harder at that person and mm-hmm. really vet them and see what's going on and pick high quality people, because you know we're in for it. I mean, we're in for a 6 year thing. That is interesting, and I think it's, you know, mm-hmm. yeah. Now here's something too, right? People who just heard, you know, let's say millions of Americans heard this, right? It's amazing how many people would say, like, oh, you're changing stuff. You're changing these,
right?
These traditional, what? That's the whole point. That's the whole point, is that actually in the very beginning we did change things. Our founding right. fathers, you know, actually decided, you know what, that didn't work. We kind of right. messed that up. Let's try it again. And I think they actually expected, as you said, they built in a system right. where in which we could continue to modify and make changes and keep
and
working through stuff. Like,
and obviously,
what's wrong with that?
Again, obviously, as I'm from Ohio, and as I already said, a conservative Democrat, I obviously, again, do not at all agree with why the South broke off. And I thought,
I don't know.
But
no. You're just talking about a term limit. That's all you're talking about.
Well, no, but I do think that just the idea that, hey, at one point in time in our country, all of these politicians broke off, whatever, for incredibly terrible reasons. But they then got to say, hey, we now have the opportunity to create a new form of government inside of the United States. That's, you know, how we're going to do it. And I do think that
that's what they went with.
Exactly. Yeah. And I do think that their constitution, I think just from like that kind of a standpoint is really interesting, because it's like, well, if we did that today, like what would we take that we like and how could we change it? And that's really the only case study other than like, you know, new states, but states don't have the same power as technically like another country. Yeah. So like I've just always found the idea that, hey, all these people, all these politicians who had lived in the United States said, now we're going to create this other form of government, and there's really only a handful of small changes in their constitution. Like, I mean, literally it's almost word for word the same, but I've just always thought that was kind of interesting to see, like, this is what they said they would do differently, and it's, I've just always thought, now that they didn't have the idea for the House of Representatives, just the president, but I've always kind of thought that, hey, I think that's actually a better idea, one term president. Yeah.
Well, so what you're saying is, let's say we're doing hypotheticals here, right? Like, hypothetically, let's say we had to rewrite our Constitution. We mm-hmm. had to. There's mm-hmm. no way.
With the way things are going, that's what it feels like.
Well, and so, like, let's say you had to do that. That what you're saying is, we kind of had a run through where
kind of did
where Americans.
Yeah.
Americans right. did that, and
well,
and
were they Americans?
Yeah, yeah.
They right. were. Yeah. Then they were kind right. of a separate country or not. Yeah, whatever. Yeah, yeah.
Right.
That's
Civil
a debate
War.
For a different time. Yeah.
But, like, you know, what would, in this hypothetical situation, what would, you know, our, let's say the Union, right? What would they do? Like, what change would they have made either back then or even now? Like, if our modern day government had to mm-hmm. all of a sudden rewrite something, what would our greatest minds and political thinkers say, you know what? We've been thinking, but we all kind of know, we don't talk about this, we don't campaign right. on it, we don't whatever, but we all kind of know that here are some of the flaws and the problems that if we had a clean slate, here's what we would do again.
I mean,
and some people think that's absolutely nuts. We're the greatest, and we do. We have an amazing, I love this country. And, You know, but that's the whole point, is that we are the greatest, and so therefore we always keep getting better. LeBron James does not just sit there and
Amen.
Coast. He doesn't. He does not. He goes back to the gym, and he shoots, and he does layups, and he dunks all day long, and he gets better, and he gets better. And,
people have been talking recently, especially with this whole Supreme Court business, should we put term limits on the Supreme Court? And you know what? I kind of think so, because right now, either way, the thing I'm starting to see out of all of this, it's too powerful. Because people try to just ramrod. It is the president's constitutional authority. We saw it with Obama at the end of his, hey, I can nominate somebody. The Republicans said no. This time, the Republicans are saying, well, we don't really remember that, or too bad, or whatever, or we didn't like the way you treated our last judge. So, again, to me, that whole thing, I'm just like, and it's not like stuff like that doesn't happen the other way around, but I'm just like,
it does.
And to me, this is like, all these people care about is money. It's all they care about is money.
Dude, it comes down
and
to
power and control, yes, it does, and that's all they care about.
Preach it. And I've heard into Sunday over
it's
here.
It's so absurdly ridiculous, and I'm so sick and tired of it. And I think most Americans are. So I think we should have term limits. Plus, I mean, you know, God bless RGB. I think she was great and all this stuff. But this isn't against her. But Supreme Court justices, it's like at some point you should retire. I mean, you should just retire, because a Supreme Court judge should not be like a political thing. It should be who's the best judge, and they should judge things based upon the Constitution. It should never be let's get somebody who's really liberal in there, or let's get somebody who's really conservative in there. That is not at all what it was ever intended to be. And it's just wrong.
You go back to a game, and you go back to, I mean, that's the sad part is actually people knowing they know, right, that they're playing this political game, and that the scales of justice are not truly balanced.
Right.
And there's not, I mean, it's
right.
They don't want that. Because now it's like,
if Trump puts in somebody that's ultra conservative, are the Democrats going to try and add seats so they can pack the
add
court?
Seats? Yeah,
that's just not right, man. It is either way, because I'm a big believer people could almost say, I guess, I don't know, libertarian. I don't necessarily think that's a bad idea. If it doesn't hurt me, if it doesn't bother me, do whatever the fuck you want. Okay. I generally do not care. It doesn't bother me. I don't care. Yeah. If it doesn't affect me, that's fine. But you know, the problem is that everybody is trying to turn the Supreme Court into, well, my ideas will fail. My ideas. It's like, I'm a big believer in everything should be fair. It's why even as a Christian, I don't see how we can say this is a Christian nation and we should enforce our Christian beliefs on other people. Because what happens 20, 30, 50 years from now if another religion suddenly becomes the majority and they start saying, well, let's get rid of these Christian values because we're now in power and they did that to us. It's not fair. It is not fair. And even as even Christian values, it's like, well, hold on a second. Because as you know, as somebody who grew up Baptist and then Nazarene, it's like, well, do we want a Mormon in there? Do we want somebody who's Catholic? Do we want you know, and then vice versa. Because just because we're Christian doesn't mean we all have the same beliefs.
Right,
trust
man.
Me.
I know.
Hasn't I've been to Bible school? My God, there's been some heated debates. We went to the Christian school we went to. Dear God, man. Getting into some debates about like how stuff even inside Christianity turned into like heated, like, I hate you arguments. You're a freaking... It's like, how are we ever going to tell people?
I mean, it is radical. I mean, I think my dad, I'll just say this. Who is a Baptist minister, ordained right, by the Holy Spirit. Amen. Like he would actually kind of agree with you, Matt. I think he would say like that's the whole point, is you have a choice. down here on life, along life's journey, you got to choose. It's not that we get to force our whatever on you. No, you get to go walk and be your, so anyway, we could go on a whole tangent about that. I get what you're saying, 100%.
Exactly. I'll tell you right now, growing up Baptist, I remember getting into like serious debates and like middle school and stuff like this, going to like youth group and stuff like that, people adamantly defending stuff like, can you or can you not lose your salvation? Like just stuff inside of the Bible. I mean, people were getting heated. And so my kind of thought is like, if we can't even agree on the same rules of this, how can you at all say you have to enforce this on anybody else? We can't even agree on it. I mean,
right, I know.
If it was like one set thing, you know what I mean? Okay, then maybe I can see your argument. But like,
I know. It's radical. It's radical. But there's issues. There's things. It's more just more and more people just need to kind of like wake up, man. I mean, there is like it's the money. There's politics. There's manipulation. It's just like. It's crazy. And it was on full display in the debate.
100%.
100%. Like, on display, you saw that, like, the talking points are there. Now, there is, I'll give, this is where I kind of start to say, like, look, we got to just be good humans. You know? We just got to be good to one another and be decent people. That's what I think. Mm-hmm. Treat each other with respect and be fair. And that is literally all that moderator was asking for on both sides. And he said, more so to the president. He did say more so like, hey, we need you to be a little bit more respectful. And that's what he said. You know, it's not Ezra Kirk throwing it out there. You guys can go watch it.
Even on the other side, because I'll play devil's advocate here. I mean, I don't remember Obama or Romney ever calling each other clowns. I don't remember, I don't remember Bush and Gore calling each other clowns. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I mean, and I'm not saying that, it's not like, well, I mean, when Trump's over there calling everyone dirty, you know, crooked Hillary and little Marco and all that stuff, it's like, I mean, there's name calling obviously on both sides, and you can say, well, he started it first or whatever, but it's just like, dude, you people are running for the president of the United States of America. The most powerful man in the world. You should never. It's like when you call somebody a clown or you call somebody Sleepy Joe. How does that at all cause me to believe that you are somebody who is going to stand and fight against evil people like Vladimir Putin? How does that at all cause me to believe that you're the person I want with nuclear codes? You're the person I want talking to foreign leaders like Kim Jong-un, if he's still alive. Other people who have nuclear weapons.
I know. Yeah.
When you're calling people clowns, will you shut up, man? I mean, you know, and I thought it was funny at the time, whatever. But the more I think, he's Sleepy Joe and crooked. I just, come on.
I'll be honest with you. There are people who have jobs, occupations, whatever, who are held to a higher standard.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? Like, they can't talk like that in public. And so it's just like, you know, I mean, we've seen more extreme things in the past 4 years. We've seen this has just turned into something that's like.
I don't even think it's the past 4 years. To me, I feel like everything started to change. For me, this is what I remember is. It was like in 1998 when the Clinton scandal happened. That's like the first time I remember Fox News. And then it was like, man, who was that teacher we had, that English teacher in high school who like hated, we were like a freshman, just hated George Bush.
Oh, my gosh. I can't remember. I know you're talking
about
that.
I had her for English. You had Brandis.
Brandis, yeah.
And she was the room next to her.
Yeah, that's right.
But I mean, she had like mugs and stuff on, like all this stuff. Like, I hate George Bush. Like, what is going on? Then it's like Obama gets elected, and it was like, I remember everyone just being, thanks, Obama, all this stuff. Fox News blasted for wearing a tan suit. And then it's like, CNN.
It's gotten worse and worse.
I always felt like CNN was pretty in the middle until Trump got in, and now I feel like CNN's just way over to the left. And where do you even go for news anymore? I mean, there is no more like moderate like news organization out there.
It's crazy. People need to think about like the term like agenda setting, like picking the agenda and saying,
echo chambers.
Yeah, exactly. What we're going to do. And you also need to think about who's backing those news organizations, what money is flowing in there, and is that impacting it? Now, like, again, and I know the journalists will talk about their integrity and all this and everything, but like, it's not that they're not report. It's you can pick and choose what to report. It's not that you were saying it's inaccurate or there is actual, like you set the agenda, and it's very important. It's a big responsibility. And sometimes things that maybe Trump wanted highlighted more or that should have been highlighted more were not. And things that aren't as big of a deal might be highlighted against him. That is literally how this works on both sides. That's what they do. Mm-hmm. It's gotten worse and worse. People have seen the power of not only just the media and what we watch on our television, but then also our social media. You know what I mean? Like, it's all blowing up in front. It's because technology is increasing. You know, we've got apps now on our phone. Everyone's walking around with a phone. That didn't used to be the case back during Clinton's time.
And I think that's a big part of it, too, because now that everyone is on social media, everyone's voice carries weight. Right. Yeah. I mean, you tweet something and a million people could see it. Right.
Yeah.
And so I think that's kind of the thing, is everybody can immediately respond, where before people would just yell at their TVs like I do when I'm watching sports. Right. But now I can yell at the phone and the phone will tell everyone in the world what I thought. I mean, gosh, it's like, could you imagine like Fox News and CNN if they were like this, like back in the day? I mean, you know, it'd be like Kennedy got shot and Fox News would be like, was it Obama? I don't know. I mean, and then you'd have like CNN and they'd be like during Ronald Reagan or, you know, during Richard Nixon's Watergate, they'd be like, you know, having a field day, just being like the biggest disgrace in American history. It'd just be.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's crazy.
It would just be going nuts. Let's move on here a little bit. So we talked about the presidential debate. The Kamala Harris Mike Pence debate is coming up next week. I expect it to be better. That's really all I'm gonna say.
Me too.
Say on that. I had some more stuff, but we've been playing it pretty good here on being kind of in the middle. So I think I'll leave that out. So here we go. Ez and I are going to make some bold predictions here. I'm going to pull up my favorite website, which is 270 to win, which is the presidential election map. Okay. So I'm going to go ahead and click off all the swing states here. If you get it pulled up here, Ez. Okay. Are you on there?
I'm on there, man.
Yeah. Okay, so let's go ahead and click off. If you click on Wisconsin, it should change it to gray. And if you click off Michigan, it should change it to gray. And it should say 232 to 163. So, again, you have to get to 270 points to win. We can go state by state here, make some predictions, and say what do we think the final tally is going to be. I've been looking at the polling data. I can tell you where it's at. I can tell you what's going on. Again, you only need 270 points to win. And so that's all you've got here. So let's start with Georgia, because Georgia they technically have is gray. I don't think there's any chance Joe Biden. I know it's kind of close, but I don't think there's any chance Joe Biden can take that from Trump.
No, me neither. It's red for me.
It's red for me too. So now we're sitting at 232-179. We'll go up one state, North Carolina. North Carolina is kind of close. North Carolina, Trump won. This is another where I'm just gimme to Trump. I just don't see Biden taking North Carolina. I think it's too strong in the red, and I'm giving it to Trump.
Okay, I'm fine with that. Yeah, I don't see. Yeah, I think it's close, but I mean, yeah, probably.
Yeah, they have Iowa is gray. Obama won it, actually. Trump blasted Hillary in it. It's kind of close. I'm giving this one to Trump too.
God, we're thinking. I'm thinking, dude. I'm not arguing with you at all. That's great. I have okay. something I think we're going to be different on. But
we're going to be. We're going to be. Yeah,
we're crazy times.
We're gonna be different here. So okay, so this is where things get really interesting because I think this is where the thing starts. So
what's in play? What states are in play right now for you?
So you've got what's left in play is Arizona, Wisconsin, Michigan, Ohio, and Pennsylvania. They say Texas is close, but I don't
what about
think
Florida. Florida. What do you got? Florida.
Florida's okay. Gray right now. It's in play. Okay. So I say we start with Pennsylvania. So this is where things get kind of interesting. So you know how everyone said the polls were wrong last time? Well, in some cases they were, and in some cases they weren't. The national average had Hillary up by around 3 points, and that's what she won the popular vote by. But if you actually go state by state, they look pretty accurate. Trump won most of the states he said he was going to win, and Hillary, well, she didn't win any of the states. So there you go. I mean, like, yeah. there's only like two states that were wrong. So 538 is a great website. 538, you can do polls. If you click on the polls there, you can then go state by state. It says all polls, all. Are you there? Are you?
Five.
Okay. Well, I'll just tell you. Okay. I got to pull it up here. Okay. So, presidential general election. So Arizona. Okay. Arizona right now is 48.7% Biden, 44.8% Trump. Trump won Arizona in the last election. And there was kind of the hidden Trump vote where he did typically about 2 to 3 points better in most of the final polls leading into the election. So just kind of know, I guess, going into this, maybe Trump, that may happen again, or Trump may, even though he's down a couple, may actually jump ahead a little bit. Sure. And I think Hillary stayed mostly the same. She didn't really outperform the polls, and she didn't really underperform. If she did, it was maybe like half a point or something. So I guess the question kind of becomes in this election, now that Trump has been president, do you think it is more likely that there are people who are actually like secret Trump voters? Or do you think it's less likely because he's already president and those people are kind of, you know, it's kind of less likely. So we'll go here. Arizona, do you think it's going red? Do you think it's going blue? Trump did win it last time, but he's down in the polls this time by over 4%.
You know, yeah. So, OK, here are the factors for me. So he's down in the polls. John McCain, legacy of Arizona. I just think, and then also like Trump's whatever, his demeanor, his manner, his whatever you want to call it, the past 4 years, I think, I don't know that Arizona, that is, I just don't see it as a place that they seem more like, okay, if it's conservative, it's more of a moderate, it's like retired. It's retirement. Mm-hmm. People are going to Arizona to retire.
John McCain's wife did come out in support of Joe Biden.
Yeah, yeah. So I just kind of think like they want to be on the right of that. And I think part of it is maybe his legacy. I don't know. I kind of think some people who maybe did vote for him before, or even if I think they're just going to stay at home, or, you know, coronavirus is a factor too, so I think you might have more Democrats show up there. I would say maybe that could. It's close, but could go blue.
Okay, I'm with you. I'm going blue. I think Biden's too far ahead, and he's never not had the lead. Is kind of the thing that he's been consistently winning. It hasn't gone back and forth. So I am going to give Arizona to I'm going to give Arizona to Joe Biden, which puts Biden at 243 and Trump at 200. I'm going to try to pull up the maybe some older elections here because they have them. Mm-hmm. They have the historical ones. Let me just pull that up here really quick.
You mean for Arizona?
Yeah, I just want to see like how Obama did and some of these other ones.
Oh, gotcha.
Here we go. Historical election. That's what I want. Okay, so in 2012, Romney won it, and in 2008, obviously John McCain won it. In 2004, so the last time Arizona went blue was 1996.
Okay.
So it's been pretty red.
Right. That's what I was saying. I think it, like I said, conservative. I think it's. I don't know that it's. I think it's going to be like either low turnout or I don't know though, you know, because he's holding rallies. He's doing a lot. I mean, I think he knows it's important. Trump knows it's important.
I think Arizona's shifting blue this time though. I just think the John McCain stuff and the fact that Biden has just been so far ahead in the polls the entire time. I feel like at some point there would have to be a poll where Trump, you know, the average at some point would have to shift. So I'm giving that one to Biden. That actually is the swing state I feel most comfortable giving Biden. Okay, yeah. Let's move on to Ohio, our home state. Now, keep in mind, I think if Biden were to win this, he'd be at 261. So there's still more to say. So let's shift over to our home state of Ohio as Trump took Ohio in 2016. Obama took it both times. George Bush took it. I mean, Ohio also typically, I think historically, has almost always gone with the person
the winner.
That doesn't mean that necessarily is going to happen, but, you know, just where we're at. So, interestingly, Ohio has been going back and forth in the polls. Let's see, in June, Trump was leading. July, Biden kind of took the lead. Trump has taken the lead more recently, and Biden just took it back. It's right now at about 48.1% Biden, 46.8% Trump, but there's a lot of time left in the state of Ohio. According to Trump, he did just bring football back, and the Big Ten football is back. So I don't know. That's just what he said. I don't know if it was him or not, but quite literally. So our home state, as you think it's going Trump or you think it's going Biden.
So didn't you tell me something interesting? Like, is the polling pretty accurate normally?
The polling for Ohio has always been pretty historically accurate. The question becomes, do you think the polling is going to shift in the next month?
Right. So as of right now where we're at, the polling is leading.
We're about 1 month out.
Right. And Biden has
like 2%, which is totally margin of error.
Right.
So, yeah.
Right. So to me, I'm saying it goes blue, man.
Whoa.
I'm saying it goes blue.
Are you seeing more Biden signs than you are Trump signs?
Well, I'll tell you something that's really interesting. I never, ever, I don't think during, like, even when Obama was doing his thing that first year, I didn't see Obama out here on the billboards. Mm-hmm. But I did the first sign, and your dad will tell you this, the first thing that I saw in Mount Vernon was a massive billboard, Biden-Harris, baby.
Wow.
It was out there. Now, literally 2 to 3 weeks later, Trump came back in and countered with the other billboard billboard in town. It was vacant for like a month, and then Trump came in behind Biden and put that up. And I'm telling you, I go right down the street. It is every other house in Mount Vernon, and it is a conservative street, my friend. It's right out here by the Mount Vernon Nazarene. University.
I will say I have family members who absolutely loathed Hillary Clinton, and I mean are hardcore Republicans, and they have told me that they are voting for Biden.
Yeah,
but as I'm going with a shocker. I'm saying Trump wins the state of Ohio. Here's why. Coronavirus is causing a lot of colleges to be doing things remote. And Ohio, as most people know, maybe they don't know, has like more colleges than, I mean, any. It's so many colleges. So
don't ever make fun of Ohio, people.
Don't ever make fun of Ohio. And a lot of things. So like Kenyon College, right? You know, that's right there in Mount Vernon, Ohio, Gambier.
Yeah.
A lot of those people come from all over the country. So I think it is unlikely that a lot of college voters, which could be a couple hundred thousand, I mean, really, if you think about it, maybe it's 100,000 combined or something. I don't know. But I think a lot of these college voters will not be voting in the state of Ohio this year because they're learning remotely. And I think it's really close. And I just think that might literally be the thing.
Really?
Because they're displaced. Because I think Ohio is going to be extremely close. I mean, like Florida close in 2000. We're recounting ballots.
I do, too.
So I think that Ohio, on my end, I have it going red.
Okay. All right.
Okay, you can keep keep yours blue. So my number is 243-218. What yours should be almost 270.
261-200? Wait, what am I missing?
Yeah. Here? No, it's because I just gave him 18 points on my end.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Now, let's move. Let's go to Florida.
All right.
Okay, so Florida is kind of technically Trump's home state. I mean, Trump is the kind of odd person where I think when you think of him, the first thing I think of is New York. But I mean, technically Mar-a-Lago, all this stuff. So he does have Florida. He did win Florida. And as we know, Florida is a crazy state. Trump won it. Obama won it. I think Obama won it again. Obviously Bush won it both times, although the first time is obviously very suspect. I mean, there were recounts. Mm-hmm. I mean, Florida was the state, right? Bill Clinton won it. He didn't win it. And so Florida, you know, is a swing state. It carries a ton of things. I will say there is zero chance of victory if Trump loses Florida. He has no path of victory. So on election night, if it comes in and Biden's clean sweeping Florida, It's over. I mean, it's over. Yeah, he has. Unless he were to do something outrageous like steal California, or I mean, he would have to eat into, or like Illinois, or he would have to eat into a huge Biden thing. So Florida has also been bouncing around in the polls. Let me get it pulled up here. Biden has kind of held a lead. His lead was bigger, and it has begun to shrink pretty drastically. Right now, it is 48.1 to 45.9. It was at one point 49.7 to 43.7 in about August. So it has been dwindling and dwindling and dwindling.
Wow. Okay. So you're giving that to Trump.
I think I am giving Florida to Trump.
Mm-hmm. For the sake of this, I'm going to give it to him. I'm going to put mine light red here.
Okay.
And I'll give it to the other thing is, though, you've got all the governors there.
Right.
All those guys, Rubio, all those guys are still big figures in Florida and to their people. You know what I mean? Like they're still active in politics and really vocal. So maybe there's something there.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So let's move over. So now this state, I've at one point we're going to move to Wisconsin, which is 10 points. Wisconsin, I've gone back and forth a lot about because Wisconsin is where Trump outperformed the polls the most. Biden has a pretty sizable lead in Wisconsin, and he has pretty consistently. Right now it's at 50.7 to 43.6. I mean, I can't even find a poll in which Trump has beaten Biden. But just knowing that he really outperformed there last time is something that's kind of interesting. Although I do remember when COVID hit Wisconsin, people in Wisconsin had to go to the polls. Like, I mean, we're not talking like, oh, COVID right now. We're talking like March when everyone's freaking out. Quarantine's happening. Economy's shutting down. And there were people lining up in drones to go to the Democratic primary.
Right.
Biden is so far ahead and he's led for so long that this is the only one left that I think, well, I don't want to say that, but this one to me is kind of the, if I feel like I got one wrong. So I'm giving it to Biden.
You're giving it to Biden. All right.
I feel yeah.
For me, I'm giving it to Trump.
Okay, there we go.
Despite all the stuff, I just something about that state.
Wisconsin, I know.
Something about it seems red. So okay. I don't know what that all is, right. But yeah.
So we have it at 253. I have mine at 253, 247. So what's yours?
So I got 261 Biden, 239 Trump with Ooh. Two states left to go,
could
right?
Trump even win on yours? Yes, he yes, he could. He could.
You have to win all both.
Right. He would have to win both. So let's go to Michigan. Trump won Michigan last time. Obama won it both times. In 2004, it went blue. In 2000, it even went blue. So I think a lot, man. 1992, it went blue. Then you have to go back to George H.W. Bush's.
Let me ask you a question. Did Trump win it last time?
He did.
Giving it to Trump.
Whoa! Michigan, let's see. 62,980,000 to 65. Hold on a second. That doesn't add. Oh, that was the total results. Sorry, I was like, oh, this isn't. I'd have to find the Michigan numbers, Michigan, which I can. Hold on one second. 16.
Yeah, I mean, I'm even kind of just playing a little bit of devil's advocate here. I'm just looking at how could this be super close. Super tight.
Right.
I'm
thinking so let's see here. Michigan was $2,279,000 to Trump. $2,268,000. So literally 10,000 people just about in Michigan decided last time's election. Mm-hmm. That's insane. So your vote matters. I mean, literally, I mean, just about 10,000 people held the result. So when I pull up Michigan in the polls, Biden has never lost the lead. Trump's pulled it a hair closer in that he was down at one point to 40% to 50 on Biden. He's now at 43 to Biden's 50. So Biden has stayed pretty consistent at about 50% in the polling. This is the one area where I think Biden made a mistake, because I thought in my mind, I thought that I forget her name, the governor of Michigan. She's a Democratic governor. I thought he should have picked her as his VP just to kind of guarantee that Michigan state. I mean, I think Kamala Harris. I think Kamala Harris is a fine pick. I'm just saying, just in terms of like, oh, we want to win. Kamala Harris being from California, I don't know if it helps you there. So I just kind of thought electoral wise, Trump did take it. He did take it by a very thin margin, and I'm going to say there's nothing in the polls leading me to believe that he's going to have to do like 8 points better and eat into Biden's lead, because obviously if Biden has over 50%, he would have to outperform his polls and convince people who say that they're voting for Biden to vote for him. I'm giving it to Biden.
What's that put you at? Because I gave
it puts me at 269, which means we could come to an electoral crisis in which they tie and
what happens? And what the heck?
Congress has to vote on it.
What the heck?
It's only happened once in history, and it cost Andrew Jackson his first. He would have been president earlier because he did have the majority, but he didn't have enough at the time. I think it was like 170 or whatever it was. And so they chose John Quincy Adams as president.
What?
And then Andrew Jackson came back and wrecked him.
Wow.
So are you going Biden or are you going Trump?
For which way? Pennsylvania?
Michigan.
Oh, Michigan, I went Trump.
What?
Michigan.
You think he's going to outperform the polls by over like 9%?
Absolutely, my friend. Here's the thing. I didn't think he had a chance last time. Not a chance versus Hillary.
Yeah.
Okay? Not a chance. And it blew me away. Could not believe it. Blew me away. Hold on a second. Where was Maine when we started this? I clicked on something.
Maine is kind of a weird state. So Maine should have been kind of like gray. It should have been gray with like crosshairs through it. Maine and Nebraska can kind of split votes. It's
right.
It's incredibly, incredibly rare that it's ever happened. I think, to be honest, it's only ever happened these like past couple of years because Nebraska and Maine both. Maine now has like a very conservative part and Nebraska has a very liberal part. And so they kind of can split votes. So
because I got Nebraska. I got the split, but it's red. Those right. five are counting towards Trump. But what right. did you what's your Maine counting towards?
Maine should be 2-1. And then I guess you could make it gray if you want. I'm just going to give it red and then turn the other one blue.
OK. Yeah, I just kind of because those are kind of
which technically actually has me at 270 and gives Biden the win. But I'm just.
Yeah, I think if you go back the way it was, I mean, I don't know how that's going to work. Yeah. But like, yeah, we're close. I know those are two. Like, I saw that they were kind of
they're weird. Yeah. Yeah. I can turn
yeah.
back
because to me. It right. Does it not come down to Pennsylvania? Right.
I mean, it all comes like, down. I think it all comes down to Pennsylvania because yeah. I think Trump has to win it. And the most difficult thing about it is that it is what I consider to be the single biggest advantage in any election, and that yeah. is your home state. It is incredibly rare to lose your home state in a presidential election. I mean, incredibly rare. But Pennsylvania is the state that Trump outperformed the polls better than any other state in the last election.
Really?
Pull this up.
Really?
Yes. So the final polls. Let me see here.
This is for what?
For Pennsylvania. So we need 2016 Pennsylvania polls final. Yeah, I mean Donald Trump, let me see here. Oh, I had it before. Anywho, whatever. So Pennsylvania, Trump won with 2,970,000 votes, and Hillary lost with 2,926,000 votes. So you're talking real close. Mm-hmm. Incredibly close. Right yeah. now, Biden is polling at around 50%, but the gap has been narrowing. It has been narrowing and narrowing. And Trump really outperformed himself in the polls. I'm sorry, I don't have those numbers just pulled up right in front of me. Yeah. But so Trump would have, if Trump took it on mine, he would then have to take like the Nebraska and the Maine split in order, and we'd have a 269 issue in which we'd have a tie. But It's home field advantage. It's home court. It's Biden's thing. People yeah. love to vote for their person. And let me yeah. just and so I'm giving it to Biden. I will find some historical data here to show people in their home states I'll let Ez kind of go here.
Well, I gave it to Biden. I gave Pennsylvania to Biden. All right.
So what's your total
for
come
me,
to?
Put, that for me puts him. So before I did that, right, I gave Michigan to Trump. That gave Trump 259. Pennsylvania sitting there. Biden. So Trump was 259. Biden was 258. And it really came down to Pennsylvania. And mm-hmm. I gave that to Biden, which makes it 278 to 259. Like, mm-hmm. and I gave Trump a lot. I gave Trump Wisconsin. I gave him Michigan, Florida. I did not give him Ohio. I did not.
Yeah.
Give him Ohio. So you
you're
see,
giving. See, that's like, weird. You're giving Biden Ohio, and I'm giving Trump Ohio.
Yeah. So it is. Yeah. It's kind of. So I mean, think about that for a second, right? That could be.
Mm-hmm.
That could be interesting.
It's going to be close. Yeah. So, I mean, here you go. I mean, John McCain won Arizona. I mean, Ronald Reagan won California twice, right? I mean, you know, you just
jeez,
look at,
are you serious?
Yeah. You look at some of these things. I mean, you know, Jimmy Carter won Georgia, right? I mean, you know, you just look at some of these states. It's home field, man. People mm-hmm. win mm-hmm. home field advantage. I mean, define people who didn't. I mean, obviously George Bush took Texas. Trump, I mean, Trump's kind of from Florida. That he won that. I mean, obviously Obama's from Illinois. So, I mean, that, you know, that's that one's a little bit harder. I mean, Lyndon B. Johnson, you know, he took Texas, right? I mean, Lyndon
right.
B. Johnson
right.
from Texas took Texas. So it's home field, man. People love to give home field advantage to their guy.
Yeah.
That's what it comes down to.
As they should. I mean, you gave, you know, Trump Florida, so call that as, you know.
And I'm giving Pennsylvania. So my ultimate tally is 289 to 2, and then there'll be a little bit more with, you know, if those Nebraska and Maine split. But 289, 247, Biden. I do think it's going to be, I think some of these states, especially Ohio, are going to be incredibly close. But I think he takes Arizona, Michigan, and Pennsylvania. I'm on the fence about Wisconsin, but he could actually lose Wisconsin and still win at 279. Mm-hmm. But so I, Arizona, Michigan, Pennsylvania, and again, the Democrats just started out as such a huge lead. But again, if he takes North Carolina or Florida, it's over. I mean, there's no path to victory for Trump because the Republicans start out as such an electoral disadvantage.
Right. Yeah. Well, it's over, friends.
It's not over, but I mean, he could win Arizona. I mean,
it's done.
So
no, yeah, Trump could win Arizona and Ohio,
and still lose.
Okay. And still lose. Well, what else would he have to do? So if he
well,
wins
so
Arizona
I mean, here we
Ohio,
go. Right. So, I mean, if we go back here, you know, you start with the strongholds. Democrats start out at 232, mostly because California, you know, Chicago, Illinois, and New York put you already pretty much at like 100 points, right? And then you add in like, okay, well, West Coast, Northeast, stuff like that. I mean, so at 232, so here's the interesting thing. At 232, if, say, Texas were to actually flip, let's just say that, for example, because people think it could happen, well, then Biden starts at 270. So it'd be over. Mm-hmm. So if he takes Texas, I mean, literally, he's won. The rest of the states don't even matter. Why the mm-hmm. Democrats don't just spend literally all of their money trying to flip Texas, I don't know. Literally, I'm like,
all you
need to do is flip Texas and you win every time.
Let me give you a scenario here. I just want to see what you think about this, right?
Okay.
Trump wins Ohio. Go on your map there. He wins
okay.
Ohio.
He wins Ohio.
He wins Arizona. Which we said are close, right? Those are both kind of.
Biden's been so far ahead in the polls, but Trump kind of outperformed it there last time. Mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. I mean, John McCain's from there. I think of Arizona as more of a Republican. When I think of Arizona, mm-hmm. I think of Republicans. I don't think of Democrats.
Yeah, so I'm giving it. That's red. I'm just going back hypothetical here. Arizona, we know how close Ohio is. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Now give Pennsylvania to Biden. He's got that.
I think
Michigan. What do you have Michigan at right now?
I have Michigan as blue, and that's the one I think it's going to be. But then if it's
now,
blue, if it's blue, he's basically already won because of then Biden's at 268. So, again, it depends on that kind of Nebraska. If that Nebraska and Maine split happened, then it's over. Even if Trump takes Florida, Georgia, and North Carolina.
Right. But like, so hold on a second, because what I've got here is Arizona, Ohio for Trump,
mm-hmm.
Michigan for Biden, Wisconsin, which I know is crazy. Mm-hmm. Let's just change that. What happens if I change that to blue? Let's see.
Then it's over.
Yeah, it's over right there. But what if that's red, like it was last time?
It still would be over.
What else? What else do you have? Because Right now, the way I have it, I've got
literally just no, literally
272 Trump, and I've got Biden 265. What am I missing?
Is he winning? Is Biden winning Pennsylvania and Michigan?
Pennsylvania and Michigan, but Maine went to him. Nebraska went to him.
Oh, in the splits. What about Iowa? Do you have Iowa to Trump or Biden?
Iowa is to Trump.
Well, hold, then how do we have different math here?
That's what I'm trying to figure out, because what else you got here? So Florida
You must have accidentally clicked something somewhere.
Let's see. Nebraska went there, 273. Maine, I don't know, man. Michigan is Biden. Yeah, let's go over your blue states real quick.
Okay. Well, I mean, it's the ones that are already there. I mean, the West Coast, Nevada, Colorado, New Mexico, Minnesota, Illinois, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Virginia, and then the Northeast.
Mm-hmm. All, do you have Maine there too?
Yeah.
Maine's blue?
Yeah, so on my map right now,
so Maine's red for me.
Oh, that's the difference. You have him taking the whole state, which I think he did last time.
Yeah.
So I have it 263, 265 with that.
Okay.
So barring the split districts, barring they just go.
But like how close that is, though, if you go like.
It's incredible. It is.
That's super close. So it's like if he takes all of that, you know.
Yeah. So if he takes all of Maine, all of Nebraska, which I don't think is going to happen because that didn't happen last time. But Trump's going to have to win. He's going to have to hold Georgia, which I think, I don't know why they say. It's like, come on now. For me, so I guess my path for victory for Biden is, I think, Arizona, Michigan, Pennsylvania. Basically 270 something to 260.
What's your path for Trump? Let's say Trump wins. How does he get there?
For Trump to win, he is going to have to take if I reset the map, if I click reset on the map, he has to take Florida. I mean, there's no way he wins without Florida. He has to take Ohio. And then North Carolina, I think he's got either way. You know, Nebraska and Maine, I'll leave as whatever.
Split, sure.
Sure. You can actually split it in the thing. Mm-hmm. I can do that. He's going to have to take Arizona, and he's going to have to steal Wisconsin or Michigan He's got to steal both because the split districts puts it at 269, 269. He's going to have to steal Wisconsin and Michigan to win. So Trump has to win everything else.
Yeah, everything
else. Really, because if he were to take Pennsylvania from Biden, which I just think is the least likely of all of them to happen, I think that's the biggest advantage of running Biden compared to Hillary is that, well, Biden's from Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
That's huge. I mean, that's because the Democrats start out at 232 and you're spotted 20 points just from him being from Pennsylvania. And it's like, well, crap, man. I mean, now you're sitting there and you're like, we only need 20 points. Actually, no, you start out at 252. Well, heck, you only need 18 points to win. If you take it literally, Biden could lose everything else and just take Ohio, and he went. If he takes his home state of Pennsylvania and Ohio, you don't even need to campaign anywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
Have Wisconsin, Michigan, Arizona. Why would you even spend money there?
Yeah. Yeah, Trump's got to actually go. Wisconsin and Michigan are a big deal. Yeah, he's got to, like, that would be crazy.
That's why I think he should have picked LeBron James.
Wow.
You would take Ohio and Florida, and then it's over.
Yeah. All right.
Crazy, man. It's the math. It's all about the electoral math. So, all right. Hey, let's move off of politics until next time and close up shop here. It is October. You know, scary stuff, Stranger Things. Let's talk Halloween candy. As what is your favorite Halloween candy?
Man, that's tough. You know,
doesn't necessarily have to be your favorite candy. It could just be one that you like. Kind of that's more maybe you get only at Halloween when you were a kid. You went trick or treating, and so you're like, mm-hmm. oh, I could get these in like the mini forms or, you know, like when you go trick or treating, what did you like? What didn't you like?
So I always liked, so yeah, anytime I got the miniature chocolate bars, didn't matter if it was Mr. Good, Crunch, you know, whatever it may be, 100 grand. I mean, those were the bars, right? If you get that mini chocolate bar, I was down. Those were my favorite. If you had those, you were tossing gold in my pumpkin bucket, and I was happy with that. If it's Skittles and stuff like that, I don't know. Like, it's a special occasion for Skittles, but the chocolate's just like whatever. Trying to think of other really good candies that I wasn't into like the Smarties and stuff. I'm like, I just would toss that to my sister and say, get that out. It's garbage.
It's trash.
It's garbage. It's trash. It's trash.
It's trash.
There's nothing to it. I mean, it's the cheapest candy you can make. I mean, it's so cheap. So, I mean, for me, it had to be that chocolate mini size, the Mr. Good Crunch. If there's a Crunch bar in there,
Nestle
man, I was 100% down. Those were my favorite ones. They're still to this day. My niece goes trick-or-treating. I'm hoarding those. Thankfully,
are we trick-or-treating this year?
I don't know what's going on, man.
Nobody's really said anything about it.
I don't know.
It's disappointing.
It's weird. I don't know.
Maybe just have small Halloween parties.
Mm-hmm.
Of six people.
I don't know.
Maybe we'll do a Zoom Halloween party.
Oh my gosh, that'd be fun.
You have
that'd
to dress
be a lot
up.
Of fun. All right. Okay. I'm down.
Yeah,
that'd be sick. We should do it. Yeah, it's the year to do it.
Okay, for me, trick or treating. I'm with you. While I do like them, like the more sugary sweet candies, you know, like Skittles, Starburst. I'm here for the chocolate. Okay,
come on. Yes.
And so when it came to the mini size things, because that's what you got. Except there was always that one house that gave you the like full size chocolate bar. Like, yeah, uh-huh.
Yeah.
And I guess this is more kind of, and then just rating kind of candy bars in general. We need to have our buddy Lane on here. I think like he'd be really good at talking about just kind of rating. Then you kind of get into the like, okay, well now you have the chocolate bars. I don't like the ones that are like what I call fluff, you know, inside, which is like your Three Musketeers, your
Milky
Baby
Way.
Ruth, Milky Way. Yeah. I mean, they're good. I'll eat them, but it's just like,
what are we doing?
It's pretending to be a Snickers. I mean, come on now. Yeah. I mean, it's like they're when it comes to bars, candy bars, there is Snickers and then there's everything else. Okay? That's just how it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Of that type where it's like got some sort of filling. Then I think you've got like your flat kind, which is your, you know, your Hershey bar, the cookie and cream Hershey. Mr. Good Bar, which I love Mr. Good Bar.
They're so good.
I'm all about it. Nestle Crunch. I'm not as big on Nestle Crunch. The Hershey's Dark and the Hershey's Dark Almond, you know, good.
Are you talking just a straight Hershey's chocolate bar?
It's great.
It's great. Just an old-fashioned.
It's just great. Yeah.
Yeah, man. I mean.
I don't like candy that I have to work for. So like Hershey's Kisses, it's like you got to unwrap it. It's this little thing. I'd much rather just have a Hershey mini. Now, the only time I like those is when they're in the cookies. It's, you know, then it's like, okay, it's kind of cool. You know, you made this cookie with the thing in the middle. But for me, my favorite, I guess, let me phrase this two ways, because there's one that is just absurdly better for me. But you know, M&Ms, I'll say this, like, I love M&Ms. I love peanut butter M&Ms. I love peanut M&Ms, which I think are by far the best, but I don't want it in a little fun size thing where there's like three M&Ms in there. It's a joke. So when I was a kid, I was like, this is a joke. Give me the full thing or I'm out.
Yep. Yep.
So in terms of the candy I got for trick or treating, literally nothing will ever beat Reese's Cups. Ever. Reese's is my number one go-to candy.
Yeah, yes.
But now my number one go-to Halloween candy, which is candy corn. I can love candy corn. I buy a bag every year, and I eat the whole damn bag. I don't care if it's the regular kind, the yellow and the orange, the chocolate, where it's the chocolate and the orange. And you know what? Sometimes I'm going to gross a lot of people out. I'll just buy pumpkins. Just a whole bag full of fucking pumpkins.
What?
And I'll just slam the pumpkins, man. Oh, man. I'm telling you, there is no feeling quite like eating an entire bag of pumpkin candy corn and drinking a huge glass of milk. Now, that feeling is, I feel like I'm going to die, but it's okay once a year, okay?
Yeah, hopefully, once a year. Pushing it like that is the pump. You're talking the pumpkin, pure pumpkin, just candy. Oh my gosh, dude!
I love
candy corn was bad enough for me, but like the pumpkin's thicker, man. That's some thick.
It's way thicker. Yeah, no, there is Christmas candy corn, and it's like don't go anywhere near it. It's so gross. It's like it's red. It's not the same.
When you eat your candy corn, do you just pop the whole kernel in there?
I do.
Or do you hit
some
like
people
the top?
Bite? Nah, I'm out.
Right, right. I guess if I'm like, I don't know, like have I done it because I'm bored and I ate half a bag? Yeah, like I'm not really hungry for it, but I'm also just nibbling on the tip. You know what I'm saying? You know.
But yeah, going door to door. I mean, you know, Reese's, man. The Reese's Minis, they're a lot of work too. Just give me a full thing of Reese's cups or Snickers. And it's like I'm set. I definitely don't want a sucker. You know, like blow pops and stuff like that. I mean,
like legitimately,
I don't know.
Who is putting suckers in Halloween?
I don't know,
man.
I mean, the Tootsie Roll, the Tootsie Pops are different because there's chocolate in the middle, and I do love Tootsie Pops.
I even like the fruit. That's the one fruity thing I actually want. Right. I don't mind a fruit, you know.
Yeah.
Tootsie Pop.
But you know, what you shouldn't eat. Oh my God! No. You should eat Tootsie, especially because I have stock in Tootsie. But shameless plug there. Black licorice, man. Did I tell you that story? Did you see that? Some guy died from eating like black licorice for like 2 weeks. And it just shuts your body down, is what they said.
I can't. I think it's terrible.
I think black licorice is gross. You know, root beer flavored candy? Ugh, not really.
No, yeah. I mean, no. Okay, here's the other thing. So I know people like Twizzlers, but I will tell you right now, in divvying out candy, that was in the I could give it up pile.
100%.
Like, you know, I mean, like,
Twizzlers better than Red Vines? I don't think so.
No. No, Red Vines are better. It sucks, but I mean, they are. Like, I don't know. It's cool to kind of blow air through the Twizzler and you know, stick your tongue in it and stuff. It's weird, but it's whatever.
No, that's Red Vine. You can't even. Twizzlers are too small. Twizzlers are the ones. Remember, they're all the tiny little.
They're all the what? Twizzlers have the hole in the middle, don't they?
No, that's Red Vines.
No, hold on a second. Hold on.
No, because Twizzlers are the ones that they come in. They're the tiny little, like, well, maybe. I don't know. I haven't had Twizzlers in so long.
Twizzlers. Go look it up, my friend. Unfortunately, my family likes Twizzlers, and I don't.
You're right. You're right. I think you can do the same thing with Red Lines, though. See, I always had the ones.
You're the ones that were twisted up. They were like
the twist,
long string, almost like string.
The twist.
Cheese.
Yeah, those are kind of different. Yeah.
Those are good. I think those are pretty good.
But what about the weird cheap candy like Ring Pops and you know
that was stuff like look if I'm sitting
Gushers isn't really candy boring. Or fruit roll ups or fruit tape stuff like that.
Also, here's the thing. I'm not a huge like sweet candy type of
person.
It's like so if I'm gonna have something, it's gotta have chocolate. And you know, you said something that was clutch, which is if you're getting me the fun size pack of M&Ms. Yes, I prefer peanut M&Ms, but you only get three in that fun size.
Seriously.
That's where they make their money. They make their money right there, and they say, all right, we're gonna sell. Like they only put two to three. I've actually opened a pack one time and there was two.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is a joke.
This is
a joke. I mean, this is a joke. But like the regular M&Ms, that's jam packed. It's fun. That is fun size. And a nice fun size pack of regular M&Ms is okay. But Yeah, I mean, it's just, it's got to have some chocolate, man. It's got to. And if there's Reese's, if Reese's ends up in there, I mean, I'm down, 100% down.
Reese's,
one of my all-time.
Do you freeze your Reese's?
I have.
Yeah.
I have done that. I have. I always put them in the fridge. Always. Mm-hmm. I love putting them in the fridge, getting them out nice and cool, glass of milk, you know what I'm saying?
So like, good. Not keto, unfortunately.
Not, unfortunately, very much. Over the summer, kicked me
this
out
year,
multiple times.
You know, I will say this year, though, is I'm on keto, and I've been going strong. I did have a cheat day yesterday, which is my first cheat day in like two months, really.
Yeah.
But one of the nice things is my go-to candy corn. I can have two or three pieces a day.
Yeah. Yeah.
Set. I definitely cannot have a Snickers a day. You know, you have to like get like, okay, well, here's like one 30 second of a Snickers, and that's all your carbs for the day.
Dude, the good thing and the bad thing about a Snickers is it's just jam-packed.
It's great.
It's got, that's obey your hunger, right? Mm-hmm. That's a great compliment to Sprite. Obey your thirst, obey your hunger. Like, that's mm-hmm. the thing. I mean,
now, if Snickers out there were giving you free promotion, if you guys want to sponsor us, okay?
Please. I can't.
We'll hop off keto so fast.
Maybe, yeah. If you're sponsored, yeah, I guess. I'll use all of my carb allowance for Snickers, okay?
Well, or we could just find some other diet that's the Snickers diet. And
I guess
we could eat a Snickers. I could eat a Snickers. I could eat a Snickers a day if Snickers were sponsoring us.
Absolutely.
And I could go to the gym and work it off.
100%.
I'd totally 100% feed my hunger. So
I do.
All right, guys. Well, that is our show for today. You know, we're in a dumpster fire. It's dumpster fire season. All right. With all the presidential debates, we gave our outcome. Let us know. Hey, shoot us an email. Let us know. What do you think is going to happen in the election? What is your favorite Halloween candy? And how did you guys survive No Simp September? This is Matt Nez signing off.